Acts chapter number 9, if you will. Acts chapter number 9. We're going to start in verse number 26. Acts chapter number 9 and in verse number 26. How many of you found the book of Acts? How many of you found chapter 9 in the book of Acts? Well, that's three of y'all. All right. Praise God. All right. Y'all do me a favor. Just look up on the screens. All right. And we're going to look at this real quickly, real quickly. We're not going to spend a whole lot of time here because we are trying to get through the workshop. All right. So in Acts chapter number 9 and verse number 26, the Bible says that is not Acts chapter number 9. Acts chapter number 8. Sorry, Michelle. I'm going to throw another wrench in it, all right? Acts chapter number 8, verse number 26. We ain't wanting to talk about Saul. We want to talk about Philip, all right? So give me that. There we go. There we go. All right. Everybody at Acts chapter number 8? All right. You've had plenty of time by now, all right? All right. If not, stay up here on the board with me. Here we go. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise, and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went. Somebody help me right there. I'm thankful for an obedient servant. Bible says, and he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia and a eunuch of great authority under Candace, a queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Esaias the prophet, which, by the way, is Isaiah. Very good, all right? Now, the Bible says in verse number 29, then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Esaias and said, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. And the place of the scripture which he read was this, he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him. Everybody say it with me. Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came into a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. Everybody get that? That came before baptism. I need somebody to help me. That came before baptism. Hey, Philip didn't say, all right, let's get this thing done. You can be saved. Philip said, wait a minute. Do you believe with thine heart? Because if you do, you can. In other words, what Philip was saying was this. Are you saved? Can we get saved first, and then we'll get baptized? Everybody with me? And so, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Sounds like a confession to me. Everybody all right? That sounds like a confession to me. And the Bible says, and he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water. Is everybody all right? There's some good stuff right here. He didn't say, hey, go draw me up a cup. I need somebody to hear me right here. He didn't say, go draw me out a cup of water. He said, hey, let's go on down into the water. Is everybody with me? And they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. Verse number 39, and when they were come up out of the water. Man, it seems so elementary. Is everybody all right? It seems so elementary. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. How many of y'all seen what we're trying to do in that story? I need somebody to help me. Was he not spirit-led? I need somebody to help me. Don't make this harder than it is. What's the first thing that we're to do if we're going to share our faith? Pray. We got to start that when? At the house, in the morning, all right? Yeah, we need to pray, and we need to continue to pray. What are we praying for? The filling of the Holy Spirit, which is the guidance of the Holy Spirit. If you're filled with the Holy Spirit, will the Holy Spirit lead you? Absolutely. Did it do it with Philip? Absolutely. Matter of fact, if you know any context to your Bible, you'll know that he was preaching and had a pretty good revival going. People were getting saved. And the Spirit told him, hey, I want you to go south. And he goes out there and he's in the middle of the desert and he's going, what now? Oh, there's a dude over there reading in his chariot. Go join yourself to him. Opportunity. He had a burden. I mean, he had to have a burden. Why am I out here, Lord? He was given an opportunity. All right? And he had boldness. He went and said, hey, man, what you reading there? Is everybody with me? So we're praying for the filling of the Holy Spirit. What else are we praying for? Bob. Who's Bob? He's a burden. Not only that, but he's an opportunity. Not only that, he's a boldness. So we want to pray and we want to ask God for a burden for the lost. We want to pray and ask God for an opportunity to share our story. And then we want to pray and ask God for boldness to carry through. Is that all right? Is everybody with me? Is that not exactly what Philip did? All right, let me ask you this. Did Philip follow it up? Absolutely. What did Philip preach to him? Jesus. Man, we see how this works. It ain't about you. It's about him. And so Philip preached Jesus, and then he followed it up with baptism. All right, we'll talk about a little bit more of that as we get into this thing. But as we go through our workshop, do we have any other sheets? Do we have any other sheets? Brother Chip has stepped out. Does anybody know if we have any sheets back there? All right, when Brother Chip gets back from smoking a cigarette, we're going to need a couple of them, all right? I'm kidding. I don't think he's out there smoking a cigarette. All right, so we've gotten to prayer. We've talked about prayer. We've talked about the filling of the Holy Spirit. It comes with confession and forgiveness, and it comes with a complete submission. Is it empty? Is that sheet empty? Yeah, can you hand it to our visitors, and that way they ain't feeling like they're in the dark right here, all right? Thank y'all for being with us. I don't mean to call y'all out or point y'all out or nothing, but I want y'all to have the info too, and that way you'll know what we're doing, okay? So we're talking about the second part of this. We've already talked about the first part is prayer. What's the second part? Care. It's care. All right? We want to get to know them, all right? We want to get to know them by learning their story. We want to know their story. Hey, listen, nobody cares how much you know until they know how much you care, all right? And if you don't care to sit there and listen to somebody, then you're not going to have a very good conversation. I need somebody to help me. Some of you are wondering why you can't talk to people. It's probably because you're the only one talking. God give you two ears and one mouth. Sometimes you need to close your mouth and listen. All right? And this is our point. This is our approach. We want to do three stories. We want to hear their story. We want to hear their story. How are we going to get their story out of them? Are we going to ask? What's the acronym we're going to use? Share. All right? How do we do that? S is for their secular life, all right? We're going to ask them questions like, hey, what's your name? I need somebody to help me. Y'all looking at me like I'm crazy. What's your name? My name is Robbie. Can y'all do that? Don't say your name's Robbie, but you understand what I'm saying. We want to talk to them about the secular life. Hey, my name's Robbie. What's your name? Oh, well, my name's so-and-so. Maybe they'll go on talking in that manner. If they don't, then are you from here? Y'all are looking at me like I'm crazy. Y'all want me to bring somebody up here and see how good y'all got this, or are y'all going to help out? No. All right, so we're going to ask them, hey, are you from here? We might even ask them something like, hey, what kind of work do you do? Okay, then we're going to move on to H. What is H? their home life. All we want to ask, hey, listen, this we're not trying to get their social security number. All we're going to ask them is this: hey, are you married? Have any kids? Have any grandkids? I'm imagining that if we get them talking to this point, they're going to tell us a little bit about their kids. They probably, if they got grandkids, I promise you, they're going to tell you about the grandkids. All right? Amen. All right? Then we're going to get to A, and A is attitude. Attitude. How are you doing? How's things going in your life? How things going with you? And then what we're going to do, we're going to listen. Listen. God may open up an opportunity now, all right, through this for us to share. But we're going from attitude to religion, all right, their religious life. And how are we going to do that? Do you get to go to church anywhere? Do you get to go to church anywhere? And we're not trying to hem them up. Remember, you're not trying to back them into a corner or offend them. We're asking them, hey, do you get to go to church anywhere? They may tell you, yes, I do. They may say, no, I don't. They may tell you. Most, if they tell you, yes, I do, they're going to tell you where they get to go to church, all right? All right, does that mean that we stop? No, because not everybody that goes to church is saved, right? I need somebody to help me, all right? Not everybody. Man, we've had people that's come to church here. Miss Lucy was a Sunday school teacher here for how many years before you got saved? 19 years before she got saved. Y'all, are y'all with me? Miss Lucy, the saint. The one that never does anything wrong. I know. They all know you're bad. All right. But anyhow, 19 years, she was a Sunday school teacher here. And 19 years, she taught youngins about Jesus, and yet she didn't have a relationship with him. So does everybody that go to church, does everybody say? No. All right. So once we get them to this point in their religious life, and we want to talk now about their eternal life. All right. How do we do that? Remember, it's three stories. We start off with their story, and then we move to our story, all right? Hey, do you have a second? Do you have 60 seconds that I can share my story with you, all right? If they give you that opportunity, what are we going to do? We're going to share our story in how many seconds? All right, or as close to it as we can. Is everybody with me? Now, I said that. I told Brother Malcolm, me and Brother Malcolm was talking on the phone yesterday or the day before yesterday, and I told Brother Malcolm, I said, I know you said that we do it in a minute. I said, but some of my people's minutes are 20 to 30. Is everybody all right? Hey, y'all know what I'm talking about. Somebody walks up to you and says, hey, man, you got a minute? Yeah, I've got a minute. That's 60 seconds. You do realize that, right? Ten minutes later, I'm still standing there going, That is everybody with me? That minute long past, all right? So we want to keep this to 1 minute. We want to give them two adjectives. Remember that? We want to kind of give it just a kind of just something very basic, something very simple that they can grab a hold of. Something like this. Hey, when I was a young man, my mom took me to church. Matter of fact, she drugged me to church. I was forced to go to church, and it was a very strict church. It had a lot of rules and a lot of regulations, and I found out early that I could not live up to those rules and regulations. And because of that, it made me feel very angry and unloved. I felt like I wasn't loved by God because I couldn't obey all the rules. But somebody shared a message with me, and that message was about a man that died on a cross that loved me so much that he died on a cross for me, and he rose again. And that day, I was told that I could have a relationship with him, and I wanted that relationship. And that day, I asked Jesus to save me. I asked Jesus to forgive me, and my life has never been the same. From that day forward, I found out just how much Jesus loves me. From that day forward, I'm no longer angry. I'm at peace with God, and I'm no longer discouraged because I know it's not about a set of rules, but it's about a relationship. Now, let me ask you this question. Do you have a story like that? Did anybody time me on that? Hey, y'all stink, all right? But it wasn't long, was it, Miss Melissa? It wasn't long, all right? So I have given them my story, and I have asked them a question. Do you have a story like that? Did y'all see all of those? My life before Christ, I was angry, I felt unloved. Y'all help me. how I came to Christ. How did I come to Christ? I heard a message. All right. My life after Christ. I have peace. What else? I was loved. All right. I was no longer angry. All right. And so my life was better. Can I get a witness? All right. And then D, do you have a story like that? All right. They're going to answer that one or two ways. Yes, I do. And guess what we're going to do? Listen. Absolutely. Hey, listen, if they got a story, we want to hear it. Don't expect them to do it in 60 seconds. Remember, we got to care. So we don't expect them to do it in 60 seconds, right? But we're going to listen. You know the worst thing you can do? Hey, you got a story like that? Yeah, I sure do. All right, have a good day. Hey, you won't make the care team. All right, so what do we want to do? If they say, yes, I sure do, then guess what? Man, I sure would like to hear it. And we listen to their story, all right? If they say no, now what? Preacher, now what? Would you like to have a story like that? Yes, I would. And then we continue on, all right? We continue on to our next acronym, which is the gospel, all right? Pretty simple. Here we go. God created us to be with Him. Do you know that God wants to have a relationship with you? He created you to be with Him. Oh, our sins separate us from God. Bible says, Romans 3:23, for all have sinned to come short of the glory of God. Romans 5:12, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. Now, don't throw all them verses out to them, all right, because we ain't trying to be preachy to them, all right? But you need to know them verses and the principle of them verses, and here's them verses. Listen, you need to memorize them verses, by the way, all right? Because once we get to this point, it is a good opportunity for you to give Bible. And the Bible tells us that we're to hide His Word in our heart. I need somebody to help me, all right? Man, I seen something this week. It says that that word hid. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. That word hid there, it means to store up for a later use. Thought that was pretty good. And what I seen of it, they was using the, like canning. It was talking about how the grandma canned and she'd put up all these vegetables and everything else. And it was showing all these jars of canned vegetables and everything. And it said that that word hid there is the same principle as that. We store it up for a later date. Everybody all right? Let's start memorizing scripture. Romans 3:23, Romans 6:23, Romans 5:12. Romans 10, 9, and 10. Hey, and verse number 13, all right? I'm not going to overwhelm you and tell you 9 all the way to 13, all right? But do 9 and 10, and then verse number 13, all right? We'll get to that later, all right? So God created us to be with Him. Our sins separate us from God. S, sins can't be removed by good deeds. That means that none of us are good enough. Nothing that you and I can do. There's nothing that you and I can do to remove our sins. We can't be good enough. All right? So, in light of that, P, paying the price for our sin. Help me, Ms. Michelle. P, paying the price for sin. Jesus died and rose again. Is everybody with me? So, we're telling them, who are we telling them about? Jesus, all right? Now, paying the price for sin, Jesus died and rose again. Now, E, but that's not good enough. Everyone who trusts in Him alone will have eternal life. See, it's not good enough that Jesus just died for everybody. You have to place your trust in Him alone, and you'll have eternal life. At this point, now we're going to go on with L, and I'll show you L. Life with Jesus starts now and lasts forever. But at E, all right, everyone who trusts in Him alone will have eternal life. At this point, we're going to ask him a question, and we'll see this in just a few minutes. But we're going to ask him a question. Does this make sense to you? All right? When they tell us, yes, it makes sense to us, we're going to ask them, is there anything that would keep you from trusting Christ as your personal Savior today? All right? Now, life with Jesus starts now and lasts forever. That is typically done after they get saved. Is everybody with me? All right? We want to tell them, hey, look, your life starts with Christ, starts now. We ain't waiting until we get to heaven. It starts now. Life with Jesus starts now and lasts through eternity. Okay? And so once we get them to this point, let's move on in our paper tonight, all right? A minute to witness. Is that where we're at? All right. A minute to witness. All right. My life before Christ, I'm going to give them 20 seconds of it. All right. I remember we're going to list two adjectives to describe your life before Christ. We want to give them two adjectives. Does anybody remember what my two were? Come on, somebody say it out loud. Angry, unloved. All right. Now, we just listen. I'm sure you got more adjectives to describe, but what are we trying to do? Keep it short, 60 seconds, right? All right, listen, do y'all think the mind's pretty effective? All right, did I spend, y'all know my story. Y'all know about me being a drunk. Y'all know about Miss Michelle. I'm pointing over here. She's up there tonight. But y'all know about her having a baby. Y'all know some things about my life that I've shared with y'all as illustrations or whatever, but they're not in here. I ain't got, now, if you want to sit down and have a conversation about my testimony, I'll give you my testimony in an hour and a half if you'll sit there and listen to it. But that's not what we're trying to do. 60 seconds. We're trying to learn how to do this on a daily basis with everybody we come in contact with. Every opportunity that God gives us, we're sharing the gospel. So I'm giving them my life before Christ, all right? I want to spend 20 seconds on that, all right? How I came to Christ. We all came to Christ the same way, and that was through a message, all right? You heard the gospel. Paul says about the gospel in Romans chapter number 1, verse number 16. It is the power of God unto salvation. He says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation. All right? So your story, while it is powerful, it is not the power. The power is the gospel. And the gospel is that Jesus came and died for them. He was buried and he rose again. All right? That is the power of God unto salvation. All right? That Jesus gave his life for somebody like me. That's the power. Ain't nobody loves you like that. Greater love had no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And Jesus says, you are my friends if you keep my commandments. Is everybody all right? All right, so we share how we heard the gospel and trusted Christ as our Lord and Savior. Make sure to include the highlights of the gospel. All right? Note, believers who can't remember their time before Christ should have a greater emphasis on Christ's sustainment through hard times. Now, let me stop right here and say this. Don't spend an hour telling them about how bad your life was and spend 2 seconds telling them about Jesus and how good he is. All right? We want to flip this mindset, and we don't want to glorify sin whatsoever. So what we want to do is say, hey, I was in a bad place. I heard about Jesus. And boy, let me tell you what he did for me. Is everybody with me? All right? Because nobody wants to know. Everybody, while they can relate to you, if you can't show them that Jesus changed you, then why mess with it? What's the purpose of church? What's the purpose of religion if it doesn't do anything for you? Y'all help me. And don't try to sell me something that don't work. I need somebody to help me. Hey, well, you go to a car dealership and they tell you, hey, this is a good deal right here, man. I love it. This car right here is awesome. What's the first thing you're going to want to do? I want to run it. I want to take it for a test drive. Because it better work. Because if it don't work, I'm not spending the money on it. I need somebody to help me. Now, see, salvation is free, but if it don't work for you, it ain't going to work for them. That's their mindset. So, all right, let me move on, all right? How I came to Christ in my life after Christ. 20 seconds. Share a couple of ways that your life has changed. Be honest about it, all right? So, how are we being honest? I'm going to tell you, like I said, we go back to them two adjectives, all right? You gave two adjectives. Those two adjectives, because of Christ, ought not be the same, all right? So, how did your life change, all right? Simply, if we're giving them two adjectives about our life before Christ, then let's give them two adjectives that shows that our life is different after Christ from before. Is everybody with me? Any questions on any of that? All right, a minute to witness. Concluding questions. Here we go. All right, here's our concluding questions. Does this make our... Do you have a story like that? Thank you. Qualifying question. All right, here we go. Does this make sense to you? All right. Once we've had the opportunity to share the gospel, all right, our acronym, then the question comes, does this make sense to you? All right. Once that takes place, we ask this, a commitment question. Is there any reason you could not place your faith in Christ right now? Listen, I need... We all need to hear this, okay? I know a lot of people like to get out of church as quickly as they can because your life's so exciting that you want to run home and watch TV. Stay with me. But when God's moving in a service, you don't know whether He is or not. But God's moving in a service. And God's dealing with somebody. The last thing that we want to be is a distraction. Everybody listen to me and listen good. God's dealing with them and Satan's trying everything he can to keep them from making a commitment. And all we do when we got to go to the bathroom 50 times in a service... I'm going to say it again. Thank you, Miss Melissa. I'm going to go over on this side. All we do when we have to go to the bathroom 50 times in a service. Okay, I'm exaggerating. Four times in a 40-minute service. That's not exaggerating. I watch people go out four times. I'm wondering, how do you function? You can't even drive to Valdosta without having to stop on the road and pee. What is the deal? Is everybody all right? It's either that or you need Jesus and you're trying to run away from it every chance you get. I'm having fun. Y'all having fun? I'm having fun. I don't get to say stuff like this all the time, but I sure am having a good time saying it right now. All right? I guarantee you, if your youngin' was playing a ball game, you'd sit in that seat as uncomfortable as it was for 3.5 hours to watch your little baby hit a baseball and run the wrong way around the bases. We get into church and we can't even sit still for 20 minutes of preaching. Say, preacher, you don't preach 20 minutes. How would you know? You're in the bathroom. We just shut the service down when you walk out and just sit in here and wait for you to come back. I'm sorry. I'll move on, all right? The point is that at this point in time, we want to give them an opportunity to respond to the Holy Spirit. If they leave, it is no different than us getting up and running our errands and doing everything else during the middle of an invitation and allowing distractions to come into their life. Okay? Now, this is not forcing them. So don't hold them by the arm and say, you got to make a decision today. Are you? No. Remember, we want to leave the door open, all right? Listen, our heart, our burden is to see people saved. All right? So, it doesn't mean we do it. I heard somebody say the other day, I need to come down to the church so you can save me. It doesn't work that way. I can't save nobody. All right. Number three, let's move on. All right. All right. Clarification of commitment. All right. We must admit. We must believe, and we must confess. All right? So, is there any reason you could not place your faith in Christ right now? No. Well, all you have to do is admit you're a sinner. Believe Jesus Christ died for you as a sinner, was buried, rose again, and confess to Him that you need to be saved. Is everybody with me? That's good. It's a simple ABC, right? Clarification of commitment. And then a prayer of salvation commitment. Now, you've heard me say this before. I don't like to lead people in prayer. But it may come to that where you have to help somebody. Man, I tell people all the time, can you pray? Pray the best way you know how. That's what I like to tell them. Pray the best way you know how and confess your sin and ask Jesus to save you. Right? Some of them will get up there, and man, it's like they've been in church their whole life, and they'll just pray a prayer like they could stand up in the middle of church and pray a prayer. And then some of them be like, know about that preacher. I don't know why. I've been there. It's okay. So we want to be prepared to help them with that, all right? And lead them in a prayer. And you'll see that on this piece of paper. But their example, let me see the example that was on this one. And just something real simple. And it said, let me see. Get my glasses out. Something real simple. This said, Lord Jesus, I need you. I realize that I am a sinner and can't save myself. I need your forgiveness. I believe you are the Son of God and that you died on the cross for my sins and rose from the dead. I repent of my sins and trust you as Savior and Lord. Take control of my life and help me to follow you in obedience. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. You'll have this piece of paper with you, and so you'll be able to use this as we go. This is my testimony, by the way. All right. But at the bottom of this thing, it helps you. This is the gospel. G-O-S-P-E-L. And at the very bottom of it, it has a prayer that they can do. Why? Because if they don't have the time, we want to leave our story with them. Is everybody with me? If they don't have the time, and they may not, if you're in a busy restaurant, they might not have time to sit there and listen to you. Are y'all hearing me? When people are working, let them work. But at the same time, don't hold them up because there's a boss man wondering, why are they spending so much time at that table? If you get an opportunity, share it. If you don't, we're going to leave them with this. And from this right here, they can be saved. All right? But we're not using this as a track. Somebody help me. Not leaving it laying around everywhere. We want to share our story. All right? Number five. Immediate follow-up. Hey, when somebody gets saved, it ain't, hallelujah. All right, have a good day. I need somebody to help me. Man, that's how we do the church people all the time, man. We got people come down here, they get saved. Well, praise God, they got saved. We ain't never going to contact them again, never going to talk to them again. What? I ask people, hey, did you get the number of the person that led you to the Lord? No. Well, here, let me give you my number. What are we doing? We got to follow up. We're not called to make converts. We're called to make disciples. All right? So when somebody gets saved, what are we going to do? We're going to follow up. We'll follow up with a Bible. Say, preacher, I can't afford a Bible. Well, I'm glad you said that because Jackson Dickinson's got about a million of them. And all you have to do is tell Jackson, hey, I need a Bible for a new convert. And he would probably leave work and drive over to where you're at and give you a Bible. All right, we're going to pray for him. We're going to do our best to get them in fellowship and teach them how to be a witness. Each one, reach one, teach one, to reach one. So we're going to teach them how to be a witness. Say, preacher, that's just so much, is it? They got saved. They had a life before Christ. They heard a message that changed. I need somebody to help me. That changed their life, and now they have a life after Christ. It's not that difficult. It's not that hard, all right? And so that's where we want to go with that, all right? Now let's go on, Miss Michelle. Thank you very much for helping us out, all right? Now we got to practice. Don't Don't get scared. We ain't going to do it in here. Anyway, y'all was worried, wasn't you? Y'all were worried. Like, whoa. All right. How is this going to happen? All right. Let's take a look at y'all have the verses there. Deuteronomy chapter number 6, verses 4 through 9. All right. Let's read it real quick. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. Now listen, let's start out and be real. Let's pay attention right here, all right? And these words, which I command thee this day, shall be in thine heart. Is everybody with me? Psalm 119, 11. I want you to put that out there to the side. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God. I want you to just put the reference out there. You can go back to that later, all right? But this is the thought. It shall be in my heart. All right. Now, look at this. Verse number 7. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and thou shalt be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gate. All right. Now, let's talk about practice right here. How are we going to do this? What kind of process is it going to take for us to practice? Number one, memorization. Verse number 6 said, it shall be in thine heart. Memorization. All right. Not only are we going to memorize some scripture, everybody look at me, but we're going to memorize our story. Amen. Are y'all hearing me? I want you to memorize that 1 minute version of your story. Say it with me. I'm going to memorize the 1 minute version of my story. Why? It's going to take practice. Remember, you're trying to do this in 1 minute. Don't just think, man, this is, I remember I had a wedding one time and they come to me and they wanting to do the wedding and you know, I spent some time on the thing that I do for the wedding and all that, and I like it. It's got everything in it. I mean, everything that you would need to say to get married and all that good stuff is right there. And I had this couple one time, and they were like, we want to say our own vows. Okay. Standing up in front of all them people, we're going to say our own vows. Well, perfect. All right, so here we go. They get there, and she breaks out. Piece of paper. Oh, I love you so much, and you're so beautiful. You're the greatest thing that ever happened to me, and blah, 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 blah. Is everybody all right? Lying through her teeth. All right, now, he's over there. Everybody with me? Oh, he's cool. He's just going to go with the flow. I said, dude, do you have your vows written down? I don't need them. I'm just going to go with it. God will give me what to say. Okay. I looked at him and I said, all right. Knowing he was fixing to mess this up. Can I get a witness right there? And he stood there and he went, son, do you even like her? I mean, you know, is everybody all right? Why? Because he ain't practiced. He ain't put nothing into it whatsoever. And he was just expecting everything to just work out when he's put on the spot. It don't work that way. Homeboy stood up there and went, I reckon they got married on and. Had to walk my man through it. Do you love her? Y'all think I'm kidding? I'm not. All right. So memorization. We want to remember. We're practicing this thing, so we got to memorize it. All right. Then number two, presentation. Verse number 7 tells us, "Shall teach them diligently." We want to practice. Jesse, when you walk into the house over there, you need to say, "Hi, my name is Jesse. What's yours?" Miss Julie say, "My name is Julie." That's his mama. Is everybody with me? All right. We want to practice. Hey, it makes it a lot easier if you're practicing on somebody you know. That's right. Right? I need somebody to help me. You got to practice this. Why? Because if you can't tell somebody that you know, You're not going to tell somebody that you don't. Stay with me, y'all. Help me, y'all. We got to memorize it. Memorization is a big part of practice. If you'll memorize it, hey, I bet right now if I asked you what your Social Security number was, come on, y'all, help me. Don't say it. You get what I'm saying. I bet most men know the date they got married. I bet most men know their wife's birthday. I bet most ladies know the date they got married and their husband. Why? Because we've committed it to. And if you've been married very long, you've practiced it. Can I get a witness right there? I need somebody to help me. Me and Michelle's going on 28 years, 29 years, something like that. I don't know. But anyhow, 29 years this October, me and Miss Michelle will have been married. All right? Now, I know this. I need somebody to help me. I was sitting there yesterday, and me and Dalton was talking yesterday, and something got brought up about somebody's age, and I was comparing them to my dad's age. And I was like, well, my dad, let's say he's 73 years old, and I'm just going through all this and everything else. I'm sitting there at 8:30 last night, and it hit me. Yesterday was my daddy's birthday. Is everybody all right? I had just talked to Dalton about it. That day we were talking about it. So I called Dad up. Hey, man, how was your birthday? I said, if I had a good mama and a good sister, I wouldn't have forgot. He said, I know. Memorize, all right? Presentation. Number three. Is everybody ready? Conversation. Shall talk of them. I want y'all to look at that. Did y'all see this? Shall talk of them when thou what? Sittest in thine house. When thou walkest by the way. When thou liest down. When thou risest up. We want this thing to be. Listen. We want it to be a part of our conversation. In other words, when we sit down to have dinner, we want to talk about it. Y'all help me. If we're going to make a difference in this world, it's going to have to be something. It's going to have to be about more than politics and sports. And whatever hunting, fishing, whatever your recreation is, it's going to have to be more about, life is going to have to be more about Jesus. I ain't telling you can't have fun. I ain't telling you not to go to work. I ain't telling you not to talk about other things. But we want this to be so much a part of our life that it just comes up in conversation. All right? So, let's look at our mission field. I'm hurrying. We're fixing to be done, all right? My mission field. Everybody say it with me? All right, we're going to look at four relational networks, all right? A biological network. Number one, biological network, all right? Miss Michelle, put that up there for us. There we go. Biological network. I know this because in college, most of y'all can't spell psalm, much less biological, all right? So, biological network, all right? What does that mean? Thank you. It means family. It means family. All right. And that may be a father. It may be a mother. It may be a brother or a sister. It may be a child. It may be a grandchild. It may be a cousin. Whatever. Our biological network. Our recreational network. All right. Hey, fellas, if you hunt, you got somebody you hunt with. They might be lost. All right. If you fish, maybe there's somebody you fish with that's possibly lost. I like to go kayaking. Maybe that's what somebody's lost. I go to the gym. Somebody's lost. I play golf. They're definitely lost, she says, all right? And if not, they know all the words for being lost, all right? And so, recreational, it's just, hey, things that you do. Ladies say, I ain't got nothing, but you got T-ball. Travel ball, basketball, football, soccer. Is everybody all right? And the world's trying to keep your kids so busy they can't be in church. And we're falling into the trap. So at least while you're in the trap, you gotta tell somebody about Jesus while you're out there. C, geographical network. All right? That's our community. If you live in Lake Park, make a difference in Lake Park. If you live in Valdosta, make a difference in Valdosta. If you live in Clydeville, you need to be safe. And then you can make it. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Now, Jesse says that I live in Clydeville now, all right? I tell him all the time, no, I don't. I live in Olympia Bend. That's where I live. And that's where I'm going to claim, all right? Geographical network. D, vocational network, all right? All right? And, of course, this is your job, all right, workplace, okay? All right. So from that, from those four relational networks, we're going to come up with my five. Say it with me. My five, all right? And here's what we're going to do. We're going to pray for five people who are close to me but far from God. Say, preacher, I don't know anybody lost. Pull this out. Go to your contacts. I don't know how many. Does it tell you how many contacts you have? I don't know how many contacts I have. 1,252 contacts. I'm quite sure. 1,200 of those are lost. Now, all of you are probably in my phone, so now you're wondering, does the preacher think I'm lost? All right, just kidding. All right, so 1,252 contacts in my phone. I can assure you that there's some people in there that are lost. So we want to pray for five people who are close to me, but far from God. B, find ways to demonstrate genuine care. Not only am I going to pray for those people, but I'm going to find five ways to demonstrate genuine care. How do you think we could do that? Listen, but we're talking about contacts. Maybe contacts on our phone. Maybe contacts at our work. However, how do you think you and I could do that? Who said it? Reach out. Man, do you know how far it would go if you just said, hey, I hope you have a great day. Good morning. I prayed for you. I hope you had a great day. I need somebody to help me. Y'all don't realize how a message can change your entire day. I started to put it on Facebook, Miss Melissa, but you sent me a message. I don't remember when it was. But it was right after I'd been cussed out and called Joel Steen and everything else, and I was mad at the world. She sends me a message telling me how much I'm loved and appreciated by our church. I started to put it on Facebook. Somebody had taken it the wrong way, and I didn't want to do that. But that made up for all the negativity. Just somebody saying, hey, I appreciate you. I love you. I'm praying for you. Wow. Everybody all right? That's a way for you to care for somebody. Just be nice. Amen. All right. See, as God leads, find ways to lovingly and appropriately share the gospel. All right. Look at it. As God leads. All right. So what does that mean? When I get my five identified, and it's Logan Johnson, I'm not going to call Logan up and say, how are you doing today? I'm praying for you. And she says, oh, I'm good. And then I say, hey, if you died right now, do you know where you'd go? Is everybody all right? Well, that is a very important question. I'm wanting to lovingly show her the gospel. Get an opportunity to share the gospel. She may not be open to that for a few months. You may have to prove that you care before they will allow you to share. Is everybody with me? So let's not jump out there and then try to, all of a sudden, just because we got a response from somebody, attack them. Because I can promise you this, if somebody feels attacked, they will put up a defense. And when they put up a defense, you will not get another opportunity to attack. And so you have to be very careful with this, all right? So as God leads, lovingly and appropriately share the gospel, all right? Now, let's see here. What do we got up here? One can reach one person with the gospel. I don't have all this, Michelle. So we write down the five names of the people who need Jesus, pray for them every day, and look for opportunities to share Jesus with them. Do y'all have that on y'all's paper? I don't think y'all do. We don't have that on our paper, all right? Now, hey, but be intentional. In other words, let's take this out of it. Your five, write it down. Don't just expect to remember it. Write it down, and then what are we going to do for them? Pray for them. All right? You may not get to be the one to share the gospel with them. Somebody else may do it. All right? Now, let's go to the last one, 21-day challenge. I told y'all we wanted to start this last Sunday. We'll start it tonight. Is everybody all right with that? Let's start it tonight. We're going to, if you started it Sunday, keep doing it. Okay? But here we go. We're going to, number one, or A, we're going to pray for the Holy Spirit's filling and for Bob is a burden, opportunity, and boldness to share our story, all right? So we're going to pray 21 days, next 21 days, every single morning. We're going to start off praying for the Holy Spirit's filling and pray for Bob. Bob is simply a burden for the lost, opportunity to share our story, and the boldness to follow through, all right? Then we're going to care. Show someone you care. Next 21 days. How are we going to do that, preacher? There's a number of ways that you can do that. An easy way to do that is one of those five. Send them a message. Don't attack them. Hey, just wanted you to know, you were on my mind today. I hope you have a great day. I appreciate you, or whatever the case may be, all right? And then share lovingly and appropriately. Share your story and the gospel. We want to share our story every day. Is everybody all right? If we share our story, what are we trying to do? We're creating a habit. All right, 21 days. If we'll do this for 21 days, they say it takes 21 days to create a habit. If we'll do 21 days every day, we'll pray for somebody, or we'll pray for the filling of the Holy Spirit in Bob, it'll become a habit. If 21 days we care for somebody, show care, show someone you care, it'll become a habit. In 21 days, if we'll share our story every day, it'll become a habit. And then we'll be just like we were talking about. Where thou sittest, where you walkest in the way, where you liest down, wherever we are, it's going to be a part of our conversation. All right? Any questions? Don't all ask at one time. One hand at a time. A friend, somebody that you might have as a friend, somebody that... if you go, here's the thing. If you go to a restaurant, if you go to a gas station, there's all kind of opportunities. Me and Dalton was sitting the other day, we were sitting at a table, and this lady kept coming by. She wanted to offer us ketchup. Then she wanted to offer us salt and pepper. Then she wanted to offer us napkins. We prayed. She'd come by and let us know, man, it sure is good to see people that pray. All right? Dalton said, Dad, that was an opportunity. Yes. Everybody all right? It was an opportunity. So what does that mean we got to do? Practice. All right? I had my mind on everything else but what was going on around me, and there it was right there. It was, we got to pray for the filling of the Holy Spirit for Bob. We didn't pray for an opportunity, but then I need to pray that I recognize the opportunity. Amen. Is everybody all right? Anybody else? Anybody? Yes, sir. I think we have to learn to do that. Yes. So he said in our caring part of it, talking about more than just the people on your list. And I said, yes, I think you have to. We have to, me, all right? And I think a lot of y'all are like me. We're going to have to reprogram. And we're going to have to be, I put this in our devotional, if you part of my devotional, Tuesday, I think it was, or Monday or Tuesday. I think it was Tuesday. But we are to be, what did I say? Intentional. Over and over again, intentional. If I want to change who I am, I'm going to have to be intentional. It's not going to happen by happenstance. You're not going to change a habit just, oh, God, just change this in me. No, you're going to have to be intentional. God will give you the power to do it, but you have to be intentional to do it. And so this caring is that. I mean, we're going to have to learn to be caring. That's something I got to learn. I'm trying my best. Everybody all right? Good question. Anybody else? How many of you started working on your story? Okay, good. Hey, get that thing done and let's take a look at it. We'll get that thing going. You want me to read mine to you one more time? That thing's cool, ain't it? You flip this thing open. You say, hey, can I share my story with you? They say, no, I don't have time. You hand this to them and this is what they read. Hello, my name is Robbie. I grew up in and around church. My mother made sure I went every time the doors were open. I was forced to go to church. I went to a very strict church and was taught most of my life that I had to follow a set of rules to please the church and God. I memorized scripture. I even preached messages to my peers, but I was angry and discouraged because I could never live up to all the rules and expectations of the church. I felt unloved by God because I struggled to follow all the rules of the church. This made me resent the church and Christians in general. Matter of fact, I couldn't stand the church and eventually walked away from the church and God as a teenager. The anger and discouragement I felt carried over into my life away from church. I wasn't good enough to be a Christian, so I made sure I excelled at being a bad person, all right? Then someone shared a message with me that changed my life. I learned that I was loved even though I wasn't good enough to follow a set of rules. I learned that it wasn't about rules to be followed, but a personal relationship between God and I. I wanted that real relationship with Him. I asked Jesus to forgive me and save me. That day changed my life forever. I'm not perfect at all, but I'm no longer angry because of an impossible set of rules. I live a life of joy instead of discouragement because I've met the one who died for me and who loves me more than anyone else ever has. This relationship has given my life purpose and meaning. I live a fulfilled life and a confident one. I am no longer scared of my eternity. I know who I believed in and am persuaded that my life with Jesus is better than my life before Christ. This is my story, but I hope you read the rest of this letter to hear about God's story and see He loves you too and wants to have a personal relationship with you. Please continue to read and learn how you can have a story of your own. God bless you. And then it says, would you like to know God personally? And if they answer yes, open to read how that's possible. In here, they have G, God created us to be with Him. O, our sins separate us from God. S, sins can never we can never be good enough to pay for our sins. Paying the price for our sins, Christ died for us. Everyone who trusts Christ can be saved. Anybody all right? And then L, life begins now. But right here at the bottom is a prayer that they can pray. And it has verses on it, has all kind of stuff right here, all right, that they can, sitting at a table by themselves, trust Christ. And then on the back, it's how they can contact me. Everybody good? But I need your story. If you'll type your story out, how many words? Or less. All right? 370 words. All right? That's all that is. If you put 500, they're going to need reading glasses. Everybody with me? All right? So, let us help you out with that. Turn those things in. All right? All right, let's do this. I'm going to pray. I don't know who may be here tonight that doesn't know Christ as their personal Savior, but I do know this. You've heard the gospel tonight. Through our teaching, you've heard the gospel. For those of us that are saved, we've heard a challenge tonight. Philip shows us what a Spirit-led life will lead to, and that's somebody getting saved and the process of discipling them. So let me encourage you, if you're saved in this building tonight, I want you to pray that God would use you as he did Philip in Acts chapter number 8. All right? And if you're not saved tonight, listen to me. Before you leave this building, come see me. All right? I mean that. I'll take time with you. Come see me. All right? Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. God, we sure are thankful, Lord, for a night in church. We're thankful for this workshop, this Share My Faith workshop. God, I pray that you would use this to impact our community. Lord, I'm thankful for people that come to church. But God, I want our church to be, Lord, to move and grow spiritually with you. And Lord, that is not going to happen, Lord, if we are not multiplying, if we're not reproducing what we are. And Lord, we are saved. God, those that are in this building that know you as their personal Savior, God, I pray that you would use us and our story to bring others to you. God, bring an opportunity at the least to share your story with them. And God, I pray in Jesus' name.